Reacher stayed in his seat, and Peterson shed his coat and sat down to an awkward silence that was broken only by the arrival of the waitress with an order pad in her hand. Not the kind of place that offered extra minutes for study of the menu. Peterson ordered a hamburger and water, and Reacher got grilled cheese and coffee. Reacher was facing the window, and Peterson turned around to look at it, and then turned back with a satisfied smile. "I know," Reacher said. "It's all steamed up. But a bus is a pretty big thing. I'll be able to make it out."
"You won't leave."
"I haven't decided yet."
"Kim didn't want to come. She doesn't care much for crowds either."
"Crowds? Or this kind of crowd?"
"Both."
They were two people at a table for four, and the line was still out the door, but nobody wanted to sit with them. People came in, glanced over, maybe took half a step, and then stopped and glanced away. The world was divided into two halves, people who liked cops and people who didn't. The military had been exactly the same. Reacher had eaten next to empty chairs many, many times. Peterson asked,
"What would you do if you were me?"
"About what?"
"The department."
"It's not yours."
"I'm next in line."
"I would start some serious training. Then I would renegotiate the deal with the prison. Their crisis plan is completely unsustainable."
"It worked okay last night, apart from the thing with Mrs. Salter."
"That's the point. That's like saying it worked okay, except it didn't. You have to plan for the contingencies."
"I'm not much of a politician."
"Please tell me there's a review period built in."
"There is, but they'll say it's rare that our help is needed. And if we get through this month with Mrs. Salter, we won't have any negatives to show them."
There was no more conversation. Peterson kept quiet, and Reacher had nothing more to say. Without Kim there, the whole thing was a bust. But the food was okay. The coffee was fresh. No real alternative, given the turnover of customers. There were three flasks behind the counter, and all three of them were constantly dripping and emptying. The sandwich was nicely fried, and Reacher was ready for the calories, like throwing coal into a furnace. Being cold was like being on a diet. He understood why all the locals he met looked basically the same, all lean and fair and slender. Fair because of their genetic inheritance. Lean and slender because they were freezing their asses off for half the year. First Reacher and then Peterson finished eating, and immediately they felt the covetous stares from the people lining up inside the door. So Reacher paid and left a generous tip, which earned him a tired smile from the waitress. Then he and Peterson stepped out to the sidewalk just in time to see a big yellow bus pull up in the police station lot. 5 to 2 in the afternoon. 14 hours to go. The bus was the same size and shape and style as the vehicle that had crashed 2 days earlier. Same amenities. It had blanked-out windows at the rear, where the washroom was. Same number of seats, same kind of door. It had entered the lot from the north, so the door was facing away from the police station lobby. Reacher stood with Peterson in the square with the wind on his back and watched a thin line of wrapped-up old folks come out and walk around. There were all kinds of grateful farewells going on. The locals shaking hands, getting hugged, giving out addresses and phone numbers. He saw the lady with the busted collarbone. She was in a coat with one empty sleeve. He saw the woman with the cracked wrist. She was cradling one hand, and someone else was carrying her bag. Most of the others had their band-aids off. Their cuts were all healed up. The new driver was crouching down and slotting suitcases into the hold under the floor. The old folks were detouring around him one after the other and gripping the handrails carefully and climbing slowly up the step. Reacher saw them inside through the windows.
white cotton ball heads moving down the aisle, pausing, choosing their places, getting settled. Last aboard was Jay Knox himself, once the driver, now just the passenger. He walked down the aisle and dumped himself in a window seat three rows behind the last of the seniors. Reacher's seat, near the rear wheels, where the ride was roughest. No point in traveling if you're not feeling it. The new driver latched the hold compartments and bounced up the step. A second later, the door sucked shut behind him. The engine started. Reacher heard the heavy diesel rattle, heard the air brake release, and the snick of a gear. The engine roared and the bus moved away, out of the lot, onto the road. The icy wind battered at it. It headed south toward the highway. Reacher watched it go until it was lost to sight. Peterson clapped him on the back. Reacher said, "A viable mode of transportation just left town without me on it. I just broke the habit of a lifetime." Plato dialed his guy again. Direct. A risk. But he was enough of an analyst to know that caution sometimes had to be abandoned, to know that chronology couldn't be beaten, to know that timing was everything. The clock ticked on, whoever you were, even if you were Plato. His guy answered. Plato asked, "Do you have news for me?"
"Not yet. I'm sorry."
Plato paused.
"It almost seems like it would be easier just to do the job than find new ways of delaying it."
"It's not like that."
"It seems like you're working very hard to save the wrong life."
"I'm not."
"Focus on the life you really want to save."
"I will. I am.
"You have a deadline. Please, don't let me down."
Reacher walked back to the station. Peterson drove. They met in the silent lobby and stood there for a second. They had nothing to do, and both of them knew it. Then Holland came out of his office and said,
"We should go up to the camp to take a look around, now that it's empty, while we've still got daylight."
Chapter 26. They went in Holland's car. It was a better fit for three people than Peterson's cruiser, because it had no security screen between the front seats and the rear. Reacher rode in the back, sprawled sideways, comfortable, watching the roads he had driven that morning. Conditions were still bad. The wind was still strong. The snow was frozen so hard it looked like part of the earth, and it was being scoured into long, sharp ridges and runnels. It was blinding white under the pale afternoon sun, like the Ice Age.